Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen, and I thank you so much for listening today. The drug of the day we're going to tackle today is quetiapine. Brand name of this medication is Seroquel. Now, this medication is an antipsychotic. More specifically, it's a second generation antipsychotic. It's something that I see used somewhat regularly in practice, particularly in patients with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. Occasionally I see it in geriatric patients where we're working with aggressive type behaviors, highly delusional or hallucinations, for example. In those type of patients, you generally want to make sure that that medication is a last resort, as there is a boxed warning associated with quetiapine and all antipsychotics for increased mortality risk if used in elderly patients with dementia. So essentially what we have to make sure is that we do our due diligence to use non-drug interventions first. And then from that, if we try and fail and we feel like another agent is going to be utilized, under rare circumstances, we may consider an antipsychotic. But again, you really want to focus on, is this patient going to harm themselves or harm other patients? And then if that is the case, then you definitely have to do a risk versus benefit and assess if that's the right thing to do. Getting into the mechanism of action a little bit more detailed wise. So antipsychotics fall under the class of dopamine antagonists. More specifically, it's the dopamine 2 receptor that it blocks. That's going to lead to the physiological effects. Seroquel or quetiapine has serotonin receptor antagonism as well, and that's generally subtype 2 is the most prominent antagonism there. In addition, we've got some histamine blocking action, which tends to lead to more sedative type effects. We've got some alpha-1 antagonist type activity as well. Alpha-1, if you remember from pharmacology, if we block that, we're going to potentially cause some lower blood pressure. So if you remember alpha blockers like Flomax and things like that, you definitely have the potential of seeing that with quetiapine. Again, not an incredibly strong alpha blocker like true alpha blockers, but may have some of that activity and may contribute to orthostasis. All right, so digging a little bit deeper on adverse drug reactions, there are a ton potentially associated with antipsychotics in general, and I want to give you some specifics about quetiapine and how it relates compared to some of those other antipsychotics. So first off, general adverse effects, extrapyramidal symptoms, that's probably the most hallmark adverse effect that you can see with an antipsychotic. So those are those movement type disorders and adverse effects. Sedation I alluded to. Quetiapine tends to be a little bit higher on the scale for causing sedation. Sometimes in practice we use this to our advantage if a patient's having difficulty with insomnia, having trouble at night. You may look to quetiapine if you're trying to figure out which antipsychotic to select in that situation. There again, it may cause too much sedation, and obviously we don't want to zonk our patients out all day. That's not appropriate either. So if we're having too much sedation, we might look to steer clear of quetiapine. Prolactin level elevations can happen with antipsychotics. Quetiapine generally isn't near as bad as a drug like risperidone, and consequences from that hyperprolactinemia can be sexual dysfunction. Moderate weight gain can happen. Quetiapine's kind of middle of the road there. So again, that kind of lends into metabolic syndrome and increased lipids, things like that. Quetiapine generally isn't considered as bad as clozapine, for example, is one of the worst ones. Olanzapine is another example there as well. Orthostasis risk, I mentioned a little bit in correlation with some alpha blocking activity. I'd call it kind of middle of the road there. And some modest QTC prolongation risk, which we also have to pay attention to with antipsychotics. So, but nowhere near a drug like ziprasidone, which tends to cause, is an antipsychotic that causes more QTC prolongation. Anticholinergic activity is possible, so a great way to remember that, can't spit, see, pee, or poop. So, cause dry eyes, dry mouth, urinary retention, constipation, and can also cause some confusion in CNS effects. Quetiapine, not crazy high on the list as far as anticholinergic effects go, but it can happen, obviously, as you escalate doses and things of that nature. It's a good time to remind you about the Flippin Pharmacology flashcards. They have been highly rated on Amazon. Fantastic little study guide for nursing, pharmacy, med students, anyone basically who has to take pharmacology. I've gone ahead in that book. We've covered nearly 600 medications by their class, categorized with the most important clinical pearls that you're going to see show up in your pharmacology exams, as well as things you're probably likely to encounter on your board exams, whether you're a nurse, pharmacist, or physician. So just a lot of good stuff that you're going to see out in clinical practice. And obviously that you're going to see in the classroom as well when you're trying to pass your pharmacology exam. So again, you can find that on Amazon, Flippin' Pharmacology Flashcards. I'll leave the link in the show notes as well. All right, let's wrap up with drug interactions. So first and foremost, I always think of QTC prolongation risk with antipsychotics. It's one of those medications that can kind of have that additive type effect. Antiarrhythmic medications are something you really got to look out for when we add on an antipsychotic. And obviously, we can just monitor this by checking an EKG and seeing what that QTC interval is. So pay attention to that. Some of the common drugs that I see flag on interaction screens, amiodarone, for example, quinolone antibiotics like levofloxacin, azithromycin can flag. And again, there are tons of meds that can prolong the QTC interval. Important to monitor, important to pay attention to, and obviously look for risk factors that people might have as well there. Sedation. So additive sedation from other medications is definitely a problem and potential concern with quetiapine. So some of those drugs that are notorious for causing sedation, obviously things like benzodiazepines, so that's your lorazepam, clonazepam, for example. We've got Z drugs for insomnia, and pretty much any drug for insomnia for that matter, but examples of those Z drugs are Zolpidem, brand name Ambien, Lunesta, Sonata, a couple other brand name examples there. Of course, we've got opioids that are sedating, so that can definitely have an additive effect on top of quetiapine. Alcohol use, older antihistamines and anticholinergic medications. So the classic one I always see in practice is over-the-counter use of Benadryl. Sometimes I see some prescription use of hydroxyzine, brand name Atarax. So pay attention to that. Adding quetiapine on top of patients already taking those medications, you're definitely going to get some additive type effects there. Mild anticholinergic activity with quetiapine could add to that anticholinergic burden too, if a patient is taking some of those older anticholinergic agents like Benadryl and Atarax, which I mentioned previously. And then, of course, we got to think about that dopamine antagonist activity and how that could block the beneficial effects of medications that are used for Parkinson's. So a drug like Sinemet, we're trying to increase dopamine to help with Parkinson's symptoms. Well, quetiapine, if we're blocking dopamine 2 receptors, we could potentially be blunting or blocking that potential beneficial effects. Now, I will say with extrapyramidal symptoms, quetiapine is one of the best. It doesn't have a crazy strong affinity, or at least as strong as some of the other agents like risperidone or first-generation antipsychotics. It doesn't bind that D2 receptor as strongly. So in patients with Parkinson's disease who absolutely need an antipsychotic, we actually lean on quetiapine as one of the favored medications there in that situation. Again, it's not something that you definitely want to have to do, is use an antipsychotic in patients who have Parkinson's disorder. But if we get put in that situation where we feel like it's absolutely necessary that an antipsychotic is used, we can potentially utilize quetiapine because it doesn't have as much dopamine 2 antagonism as maybe some of the other agents that I mentioned previously. And then we've got some CYP3A4 interactions that you need to pay attention to. So CYP3A4 inducers. So remember, these are medications that stimulate the action of CYP3A4 and basically make it work faster. So those inducers are actually going to cause that enzyme to work faster and chew up quetiapine quicker. So that's going to lead to lower drug concentrations. And if we add a CYP3A4 inducer onto somebody's medication regimen, it could potentially lead to lower concentrations and ultimately treatment failure if it's a severe enough case there. On the flip side, CYP3A4 inhibitors block the action of CYP3A4. What this is going to do is prevent quetiapine from being broken down to a certain extent, and concentrations could go up. So in a patient that's otherwise stabilized, you add a CYP3A4 inhibitor, like erythromycin, clarithromycin, for example. There's numerous HIV medications that can inhibit CYP3A4. If you add that medication to the regimen, we could certainly see concentrations of quetiapine go up and obviously increase the risk for some of those adverse effects like EPS and elevated prolactin levels, sedation, metabolic syndrome, and so on and so forth. So definitely pay attention to those drug interactions. Mostly it's going to be monitoring. There aren't a lot of true contraindicated drug interactions with quetiapine, but you always want to take those warnings seriously when you get them in practice or when two medications are flagged. You want to review it, make sure you monitor at a minimum, and obviously look for alternatives as well if we've got a drug interaction that's significant. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. We've got a huge library of podcasts at reallifepharmacology.com. I think we're upwards of nearly 300 different podcasts at this point. Absolute no-brainer, reallifepharmacology.com. On the right-hand side of the screen on the podcast tab, I've got them categorized by disease state. So if you're going through pharmacology classes, definitely take advantage of that website for sure. I don't think you'll regret it at all, the free education that comes with it. And of course, you can find us on iTunes and other places as well there. The Flippin' Pharmacology flashcards are available on Amazon within the United States, so definitely go take advantage of that. If you're practicing out in the real world, it'd be a great gift for a student who's going through pharmacology classes. Help them really hone in on some of the most important practical information that you're actually going to see in the real world. So with that, if you want to track me down, mededucation101@gmail.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. Thanks so much for listening. Take care, and I hope you picked up a practice pearl or two today.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.